Do you market to your past client database at all?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they hear from me all the time. I mean, I become best friends with them. I mean, if you were to ask just about any of my clients, if not any of them, you know, they would have nothing but great things to say, you know, because they'd be like, oh yeah, I just talked to him yesterday. You know, I reach out and I talk to him pretty frequently.
Welcome to the Northwest Real Estate Roundup, the podcast where real estate meets reality. I'm your host, Steve Tytler, coming to you with 4 decades of experience in the trenches of real estate and the mortgage business. Today, we're diving deep into the tools, tips, and trends that make the industry tick. Join us as we unpack the secrets to success in real estate, share expert advice, and spotlight the innovators who are shaping our industry. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Northwest Real Estate Roundup. I'm Steve Tytler, and with me today is Tyler Ware, who is a very successful real estate agent. Tyler, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Steve. I appreciate you.
And Tyler, first tell us, what is the geographic area that you cover in your real estate business?
Primarily Snohomish County. I focus mainly on Everett. Everett is where I grew up. It was my hometown where I was raised at. So I typically focus on Everett, but I cover a lot of Snohomish County, King County. I go pretty much where the client needs me, but I'm one thing that I'm pretty, strict about is I only go in markets that I know, because I feel like if you go in a market that you don't know, how can you truly represent your client to the best of your ability? Now, that doesn't stop me from learning other markets, you know, on the fly when I have to, you know, but I try to keep it dialed down to the market that I know the best, which is Everett and Snohomish County.
Well, that's great to hear, because I have seen other real estate agents take listings in areas they have no knowledge of. For example, right. I live in an area of Bellevue, and I've seen Seattle-based agents list homes in my area, and they have no clue how to value the property or how to market it. So I think it's very smart to focus on areas you actually know.
Yeah, so do I. That's kind of why I chose Everett, because I know that area. I pick areas that I kind of grew up in. So I kind of grew up in Kenmore a little bit when I was younger. So I know the east side a little bit. Then I grew up in Everett for a while, you know, so I know kind of Bothell, Kenmore, Kirkland area, you know, so I'm familiar with east side as well, but I try to stick to Everett and Snohomish County.
Well, that's great, because then you can really provide a service to your clients, because you know the areas very well, and you can tell what's a good deal and what is not. Whereas if you go outside your area, it's harder to tell just at first glance, right?
Right. You got no idea. You're just kind of throwing darts at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yeah, for sure. Now, we're recording this in mid-April 2024. How do you see the market right now?
The market right now is looking really strong. So I checked it this morning. I'm a statistics guy. I have to check statistics. So like a lot of people wake up and they watch the news, they turn on the news, I open up the MLS. So, you know, for me, I opened it up today and I checked and I saw that there is like 16 new listings in Everett, but 14 went pending. And so I'm like, okay, wow. So we're still at a 1.1 month supply of inventory.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, which is nuts. You know, and the cumulative days on market is only 6, you know, and so we're in a pretty strong market right now. And is what I'm noticing is a lot of the listings they're getting, the majority of listings are getting 100% of their list price. So, you know, we're at a pretty stable, we're in a steroid market. There's no doubt about that. It's a steroid seller's market. There's no doubt behind that. But I'm noticing that houses aren't going above list price very often, and they're not going below list price very often. They're staying pretty stable. So we got some good listing agents out there right now that are listing houses at where they need to be, which is good. And I noticed the median sale price in Everett has gone up to in Snohomish County overall has gone up to about $760,000. So in my opinion, the market's pretty strong and stable at this point.
Well, yeah, that. Personally, I've never put a lot of stock in how much percent over or under listing prices are, because as you know, a couple of years ago, a lot of agents were playing games with listing prices to suck in the bidding activity and drive it up, and so they could brag about selling 20 or 30% over list. Now, the fact that, as you mentioned, houses are selling at 100% list tells you two things. Number one, the market's very hot. And as you mentioned, the listing agents are pricing realistically.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. That was a thing that I've been dealing with my listings, you know, because of course, you know, you always want to be a little bit strategic and list just slightly under so that you could bring in, you know, buyers. But is what that's doing is, you know, if you is what I'm conveying to my sellers now is I'm like, what you list at is probably what you're going to get, you know. And so, you know, you got to be strategic in a way. Of course, it depends on the area. You know, the east side's a lot different. If you underprice at the east side, it's still going to go above. I mean, it is what it is. It's the east side, you know. But you know, in Everett, if you list, you know, at 500,000, you're probably going to get 500,000, you know. And so it's a hot market. We got a lot of good listing agents, you know, who survive through December, November. The agents that survive that, you know, they're the top tier agents. They're the good agents out there. And so you know, and I look forward to working with a lot of them this year. You know, I've worked with a ton of different agents, and you know, I'm really looking forward to expanding and working with more of them, because the ones that survived that lull, you know, couple months that we had there that were pretty rough on a lot of agents, you know, the ones that are still there are going to be the good ones. So I'm excited to work with them.
Well, that's good because the audience for this podcast is primarily real estate agents and real estate professionals, as well as home sellers and buyers, because we focus exclusively on the top producing agents in the area. And top producing agents can share with each other because technically you're competitors, but also you need to work together and you can learn from each
Right.
other.
Yeah, that's right, Stephen. I attend a lot of mastermind groups with our top, you know, Northwest top producers. You know, we all kind of get together, mastermind, and you know, bounce ideas off each other, because you know, what's the saying? Iron sharpens iron, you know, and it's just a better way to kind of bounce ideas off each other, see what's working, see what's not, kind of hear what's working for other people, and maybe giving it out, giving it a try out yourself, you know, and seeing if it'll work for you, you know.
Exactly. Now, as I mentioned, I know you're very successful. What is it about your personal mindset that enables you to be so successful?
I truly believe that I'm unlimited. So I've seen rock bottom. I have kind of a checkered history. I've seen rock bottom. I know what that looks like, and I've seen the top, you know. And so for me to know that I've come from a place that was so dark and just so miserable to the place that I'm at now tells me that I have even greater heights that I have yet to achieve. And so I think that's kind of my driving force that makes me so driven and so, you know, committed to doing my prospecting and staying on my calendar and doing my time blocking activities and, you know, all of those things, because you know, because of where I've been.
Now, what would you say is your real estate superpower or unique selling proposition that sets you apart from all the other agents out there?
Yeah, again, I think it's my unique superpower is I've seen rock bottom. I know what that looks like. And so just my past, it doesn't define me, but it definitely shaped me, you know, in ways that have given me my drive and my passion for what I do. My real estate superpower, I would say, is that I truly believe that I'm unlimited. When people ask, I have it tattooed on my arm, and when people ask me about it, I'm like, beyond growing wings, I can do anything but that, you know?
You know, I find that is a very common trait in successful agents. They do not have a scarcity mentality. Too many agents out there are struggling right now, and they look around and they say, man, there's only so many houses for sale, and all the great agents like Tyler are getting them. There's nothing left for me, and you can't think that way.
No, you can't think that way. You have to think from a place of abundance. It's always, you know, abundance comes if you think from a place of abundance. That's where you'll find your life to be at. That's what I truly believe. I do a lot of meditations and things of that nature, and you know, I'm always focusing on abundance, 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 because you know, when you think from a place of scarcity, not only are you doing yourself a disservice, but you're also doing your clients a disservice. I always, when I'm interviewing for, you know, for a listing, you know, I tell people, I say, one of the things that I'm proud of, and I don't mean to be cocky or arrogant, but I say, you know, I'm not a desperate agent. I don't need this deal, you know. And so if you go with, you know, say Joe Schmo down the street, who, you know, hasn't had a listing, hasn't had a sale in the last 6 months, he's hungry. He needs a sale. You know, he's a desperate agent. Now, that could be a very dangerous territory to be in. Steve, because when you get a group of, starving agents who are, desperate, they're willing to do anything to make the sale. They don't care if it's if it goes under list price, over list price, sideways, left, right, straight, forward, down. They don't care. They just want to make sure that it gets to the closing table, versus an agent who isn't, operating from a place of scarcity, operating from a place of abundance, and they're not desperate. You'll get a higher level of service and just overall better, quality customer service, essentially, is what we are, is customer service representatives,
Yeah, that's an excellent point because people can smell and see desperation, right? And it doesn't come
Right.
across well. It also forces you to compromise your values. And it's very difficult in a slow market to not compromise your values and stick with it. And so I think that's an important point.
Yeah, I do too, and I've been one of the very fortunate ones who, who's hustled throughout, the pandemic, the ups, the downs, and I haven't seen a month where I blanked, and in over 2 years, I've been able to close a deal, at least a deal a month, at the very least, but I typically do around 2 to 3 a month is kind of my average right now. And so, and kind of has been, I've kind of been stuck at that 2 to 3 a month, maybe some months I'll have 4, like next month I'll probably have about 4 that I have an escrow, maybe 5. And then some months, you have 1 or 2, and so, but I've never seen months where I've, over the last 2 years where I haven't closed anything. I've at least closed something. And so, I know that really helps me and my mentality because it helps shape that abundance factor, right? Where you're coming from a place of abundance when you go on the listing appointments, when you go on the buyer's appointments, when you're showing homes, things of that nature, it's you don't come across as desperate salesman, that just needs to make a sale.
Right. Now, as you mentioned, you are very successful. I knew that coming in. Now, I know most successful agents that I talk to, they have a specific daily or weekly system that they follow. What kind of system do you have?
Yeah, so I'm really strict on my morning routine. And so, and my morning routine has nothing to do with real estate. I mean, it has nothing to do with technology. It has nothing to do with my phone, other than my guided meditation. I use it for my guided meditation. But other than that, I don't pick up my phone to look at messages or anything. I wake up early in the morning. I like to do a meditation. I like to journal. I like to read my book at least like 10 to 15 pages, if not more. I like to drink my morning coffee and kind of get centered and grounded for the day, before I even begin to open up those emails. Because I know as soon as I open up those emails, I'm going to go into reactive mode and I'm going to have to start reacting and operating at a high level. So I like to get primed and ready, and that is one of the things that I think holds me, that exercising, daily, if not, every other day at least. Is kind of one of the things that keeps me on track and going. But when it comes to real estate, prospecting, it's just all prospecting. That's my daily routine is I come into the office and I prospect for at least 2 hours.
Do you use time blocking where you block out certain times, say, look, in these 2 hours, I'm making phone calls no matter what?
Yep. So I do use time blocking, but I'm one of those people where if you were to ask somebody who really uses time blocking, they'd be like, you're not really time blocking.
I
Because
can
I'll
relate to
time
that,
block.
frankly.
Yeah, because I'll time block to those 2 hours, but I also know that my day has to shift. So if I'm making calls for 2 hours and somebody who I've been trying to get into a house, trying to get engaged, trying to get motivated to purchase a home, and they hit me up with a house and they're like, can we go see this at 2? And I'm in the middle of my calls are done. I'm gonna go show them the house. You know what I mean? And so a lot of people would say that's not time blocking. Time blocking is where you stick to it no matter what. It's hardcore. So I loosely time block.
Okay, what kind of lead generation systems do you use?
Yeah, so Facebook is my gold mine. Social media is my gold mine. Just being the agent, the knowledge agent, the knowledge broker, has been the leading force to a lot of my success. I post on there daily, sometimes 2 or 3 or 4 times daily, and let people know, not only, hey, I'm in real estate, which is what I see a lot of people doing. Hey, I got a new listing. Hey, I got a new sale. I post good practical knowledge for buyers and sellers alike, you know, to know whether is it the right time to buy for you? Is it, you know, or should you wait right now? You know, do student loans hold you back? I kind of try to give them the knowledge that they need in order to make the right decisions. And so, for me, I use Facebook a lot for a lead source. I'm a part of like a pay-per-close program. It's like an exclusive also for top tier producers. It's a pay-per-close program that I'm part of. And so I get maybe one or two deals here and there sporadically from that. They're not a very consistent thing, but most of mine are referrals, social media, you know, just word of mouth, friends, family, sphere of influence, things like that.
Do you market to your past client database at all?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they hear from me all the time. I mean, I become best friends with them. I mean, if you were to ask just about any of my clients, if not any of them, you know, they would have nothing but great things to say, you know, because they'd be like, oh yeah, I just talked to him yesterday. You know, I reach out and I talk to him pretty frequently.
Well, that's great. And it's interesting that Facebook is a big source of business for you because a lot of agents are not using social media that very much, or at least they're not using it properly.
Right. It's crazy to me for Facebook to be a dead platform, as so they call it, you know, for what I've come to find is that the people that have come of age, which are, you know, of my age or my generation or above, are the ones that are on Facebook. And the ones that are younger than that are the ones that are using the other social media platforms like TikTok, Snapchat, things like that. So it only makes sense then that people that have money to purchase houses, the people that have lived life and experienced and have jobs and have built their credit and they've learned life, you know, that are in their 30s or above, they're going to be the ones purchasing houses. And guess what? They're all on Facebook.
Yeah, that's funny because it started out as for college students many years ago, and now
Right.
all the kids left. They say, only grandma and grandpa are on Facebook now. We don't want to do it, which is a perfect audience for us, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for what we do, I mean, you couldn't come up with a better audience, you know. I mean, it's absolutely perfect. I love it. And I love just connecting with people and seeing what they're into. And then when I call them up, I'm able to say, hey, how was your vacation? You know, it's just such a great marketing tool to, you know, learn who you're talking to, learn your audience, learn, you know, about the people that are showing you love, you know, that are supporting you and supporting your business and sharing your stuff, you know. And it's a really great way to connect with your community, I believe.
Right. And a lot of people may not know this, but you can create a target audience in Facebook by uploading your past client database into Facebook and direct ads specifically at them. Do you do anything like that?
Yeah, so I do a lot of direct marketing. So when I run ads for certain things, you know, I pick and choose basically my geographical areas is more so what I pick and choose. But no, I don't really target. I sometimes I'll target friends of friends instead of just my friends because I want to, you know, cast a wider net. And so I want, you know, and then all of a sudden I'll start getting friend requests from these people that I don't know. And I'll look and I'll say, oh, we got one mutual friend in common, or we got five mutual friends, you know. And so it's pretty cool. So I do geographical targeting, and I also target, like I said, friends of friends a lot.
And as you said, you do a lot of informational posts, right? It's not just, hey, look at me, I sold a house. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So those kind of make me cringe a little bit, but I still do them because I want people to see not only, hey, I'm active, I'm busy, I'm doing real estate. You know, this is what I do for a job. This is what I do for a profession. This is my living. You know, I'm busy, I'm working. So I do post the, you know, just sold, just pendings, you know, just listeds, you know, all those things. But the majority of my posts are not that. The majority of my posts are actually motivational talks, you know, for people that are like me that came from the bottom, you know, what are interest rates looking like right now? What's the market looking like right now? Is it a great time to buy? You know, should I be selling? When is the best time to sell? You know, what can I do to get the best ROI on my property? You know, and I do short reels on those types of topics so that I'm offering value to my clients and offering value to my sphere of influence.
Now, you just brought up a great question. People ask this all the time. Is this a good time to buy a house? And as you know, interest rates are high right now. I'm in the mortgage
Yeah.
business. It's affecting me. But ironically, it's not really affecting the home market because inventory is so small. There's
Yeah.
plenty of demand for the limited inventory. So prices, as you know, are probably going up instead of going down. So what do you
Oh, yeah.
tell people who are saying, and we hear this, and you probably do all well also, well, I think I'm going to wait till home prices come down. What do
Right.
you say to that?
So when I hear that, I say, okay, so when's the last time that you saw home prices go down? Is usually what my first response. They go, when's the last time you saw home prices go down? And they go, well, 2008. And I go, okay, now imagine if you would have bought a house in 2008 and you kept it until now, or what would you be looking at? How much equity would you have in your house if you would have purchased a home in 2008? I always joke around and tell people my biggest financial mistake was being in third grade in 2008 or whatever grade I was in, That's my biggest financial mistake. I would have bought up every house that I could afford, but
Yeah.
no, I think right now it's a great time to buy. I always tell my clients, if you can qualify, anytime is the best time to buy. If you can qualify in this current market for a house, it's absolutely the best time to buy. It doesn't matter across the board. It doesn't matter if we're talking in November, Steve, or we're talking right now, or we're talking in November next year. It wouldn't matter. If you qualify, purchase a house, because it's going to build your net worth. It's going to grow your equity. You're going to be able to, it's yours. And not only that, but you secure your price of shelter for the next 30 years. Who wouldn't want that? I mean, everybody knows rents go up. Every year, rents go up every year, and now we're the home. I think I just read an article, we're the home of 12 cities with over $1 million median price range. And so that's just growing. It's only growing from there. So if you can qualify now, I work with a lot of first-time home buyers, and I tell them, I'm like, hey, you qualify at 500,000 to 600,000. There's not a whole lot on the market right now at 500,000 to 600,000, and there's going to be even less in 6 months. And 6 months after that, there's going to be probably none. You're going to be looking at condos. And if you don't buy a condo after that, then you're going to be looking at, trailers in a trailer park, and we all know that we can't qualify you off of those. You got to get like what a chattel loan, I think they're called, and so it's just, when people ask me, is it the best time to buy? Absolutely. It's always the best time to buy. When they ask me when's the best time to sell, it's the spring market always. Everybody knows that. That's across the board. But in Washington State, we're in a seller's market. So anytime also is the best time to sell. If you can wait, if you can hold off till spring, fantastic. Next week is going to be the best week for you to list,
Well, Tyler, I'm much older than you. I've actually had a real estate license since 1988, way before you were born.
Wow.
And I've been around a long time. And I tell clients, you shouldn't buy a house, in my opinion, unless you plan to live in at least 7 to 10 years, because you will ride out any real estate cycle. And therefore, you do not have to time the market. And as you just said, any time is a good time to buy if you're going to be in it long term. I think the
Right.
problem is some people watch these flipper shows on TV and get the
Yeah.
idea you can buy a house and sell it 2 or 3 years later for a profit, which, as you know, works some of the time, but not all of the time. So, in my opinion, buying a home should always be a long-term investment, not a short-term flipper deal.
Yeah, I agree with you. Real estate's a long game. Real estate really is a long game. There's few and far between where you could, get in, and like, of course, during COVID, if you were to buy a house during COVID and you kept it till now and you sold it, what, 4 years later, you'd make quite a profit, I'm sure. But those moments are few and far between, and you got to be able to hit it right on the axis, because as the mortgage rates, it's like this. It goes in tandem with home prices. So when the rates are low, prices go up. When the rates come up, prices go down. So if you can hit it right when it's right there in the middle, and kind of hit it right on that perfect mark, which we all know is what, like a 2 week period, so you got to be in contract within the next 2 weeks when that period hits. Come on, who's going to be, you got to have a crystal ball at that point,
Right. And it's not like the stock market. We can time your buys and sells down to the day. And in the real estate, you got to take what it is. And if you get hung up on, what in interest rates are today and the market, I think it's going to mess you up because you really need to look long term. You mentioned the 2008 housing market crash. I was around during that time. I'm in the mortgage business. And I remember telling people back in 2008, 2009, 2010, as prices were dropping, I said, you know what? Even people that bought at the peak of the market in 2006, if they
Yeah.
hold on for 10 years, They're going
At
to
least
see
one.
their house go back above that peak value. Now, at that time, people thought I was crazy. But
Yeah.
sure enough, by 10 years later, 2016, home prices were higher than they were at the peak in 2006 before the crash. So I said, long term is the key because real estate does go in cycles of 7 to 10 years. And
Oh,
so
yeah.
as long as you're holding on, you're always going to make out in the long run.
Yeah, we're always going to see those, those valleys and those lows, the valleys, peaks and valleys, we're always going to see those throughout the market. It's just, it's going to happen. Like you said, every 7 to 10 years, we're going to see it, I think here in Washington State, as you know, because you were in the market back then, we were one of the ones that got hit the least hard. Like we barely got hit over here when it came to the 2008 crisis. I mean, there's cities in the United States that were almost on fire, where every
Right.
single house was for sale, and being here in Washington, I've done my studies, I've researched it now that I'm in the industry, because of course we always get the question, when's the housing bubble going to pop? When's the
Right.
2008 going to come back? And
Right.
so I've done my research and I've looked at the statistics, and so I've come to find out that Washington was hit as one of the least hardest to be, or was one of the least hardest to be hit from there. And I think it's going to continue on that trajectory, because we're the home of just so many big employers and it's only growing from there. And when you have a lot of buyers, which are employers, you have a huge population. It only makes sense that your housing market's going to go up,
Well, you're right. I have also studied the real estate market going all the way back to the 70s because I used to actually write a weekly newspaper column in the Everett Herald that was published every Sunday for about 23 years. And I answered questions about real estate. And going all the way back to the 70s, we've had a very, very stable market in this area for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's a very desirable area geographically. I have a lot of clients. Well, I'm in the mortgage business. A lot of mortgage clients are thinking about moving out of state, for example, and they look at Texas and places like that. But when they actually look at it, they go, man, the summers in Texas are brutal, hot and humid. So when you look at the weather and all the things we have going, I have many clients look all over the country and then they come back to Washington State and say, you know what? We can't find a better place to live. So it's always been desirable geographically. And so that's why when we have these housing ups and downs, people stay here because they want to live here. Unlike places like maybe Cleveland or Houston, where they're there for the job. When the job goes away, they go somewhere else. It's a totally different thing here. Plus, we
Yeah,
have
it
lots
is.
of high-paid, high-tech employers in this
Oh
area.
yeah. And it's only growing. We're going to be the new Silicon Valley. It's only a matter of time. I mean, the Silicon Valley executives, the CEOs, they got smart and realized, why are we paying these taxes in California when we go up to Washington? We don't have to pay
Yeah,
them.
that's for sure. So, what are the biggest mistakes you see buyers and or sellers making in this market?
Buyers, I see holding back is the biggest mistake, is they hold back waiting for the housing market to crash, waiting for the prices to come down, waiting for the interest rates to come down, waiting. That's the biggest mistake that I see buyers making in this market. And the biggest mistake I see sellers making in this market would probably be thinking that they could do it on their own. I've seen a lot of for sale by owners lately. And thinking like it's a seller's market, I could just put a sign on my yard and I could do this myself, is one of the biggest mistakes I could see them making. And then also, if their goal is to make money on their home, they also fall under the category of waiting, because if they want to make money on their home, now is the time. Now is the time. We're at peak buying season. We're in a seller's market, we're in a triple steroid market right now. Why would you not pull the trigger? You're just gonna wait. You're gonna wait yourself out until what? Till we see another December where the interest rates go up to 8% and then housing prices go down by 40 grand. You're gonna leave a lot of money on the table that way, Steve. I think that waiting is probably the most common mistake I see both parties making.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've seen it, but I've seen a lot of podcasts over the last few months talking about the coming real estate crash, which you and I agree is not going to happen, right?
No, it's nothing but fake news. It's what it is. It's a lot of, if you actually get in and read the articles too, the articles and the podcasts, they, and if you listen to them, there's not a whole lot of supporting evidence. I mean, they don't have any supporting evidence to these things. I mean, they're like, the housing market's going to crash. Well, why is it going to crash? Well, because it can only go up for so long. Well, that's not statistical data. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm the one studying the market. I'm looking at the statistical data and I'm telling you it's not going to crash, you know, and you're telling me, well, it can only go up so high. Well, no, it can't. It can keep going because now we're the home of 12 cities that are $1 million plus range. And pretty soon we're going to be home to 13, 14, 15, and it's only going to grow from there, you know? And so, you know, that it's funny to me when people say that they're waiting for the market to crash, or, you know, waiting for the bubble to pop, you know.
Well,
Things
that's
were
the
just so different in 2008. You know, everything was so much different. There was subprime lending going on. There was a lot of things that were behind the scenes going on that people didn't really realize. It wasn't just the housing market grew to a point to where it popped,
Yeah,
you
I'm in the
know.
mortgage business and I can tell you, and I lived through it, that subprime market was insane.
Right.
Lots of people, we didn't do it in my company, but lots of people did what we call liar loans, where you literally made up a number for your income. And nobody verified it. It was insane. And so it
Right.
was no surprise to me when the whole house of cards collapsed because millions of people bought houses they could not possibly afford because they made up their numbers. I'll just give you one
Right.
quick example. Back in 2008, a client called me and said, "Hey, I need to refinance my mortgage. Okay, what's the deal?" "Well, my mortgage payment is $2,400 a month. All right, what's your income?" $2,300 a month. I said, "Wait a minute.
Oh boy.
How did you get that mortgage?" "Well, when I filled out the loan application, the loan officer said to put down $8,000 a month for my income." So that's what he did. And that's how he got the loan. 3 months later, he couldn't even afford the mortgage payment. And that story was repeated millions of times across the
Oh,
country.
yeah.
That's what caused home prices to crash. It was bad credit. It had nothing to do with the quote unquote housing market.
Right. Exactly, Steve. Like, and it just, I think, is what it is when people say, you know, when they're waiting for the market to crash or they're waiting for the housing bubble to pop, all it is ignorance, you know, and that's where we come in. That's what our job is. So it, when I hear that kind of stuff, I love it. I eat it up. I'm like, let me join this conversation. Let me get in on this because I got some information for you that's going to knock your socks off. You know, I got some information for you, some statistical data that's going to blow your mind. You know, and I have many coaches that are, you know, many coaches and mentors that have instilled that in me. You know, and one of them being, her name is Denise Lones, and she is just, I mean, an absolutely amazing coach. Shout out to her. She has coached me for quite some time now, and she just pours over the data. She's like a wealth of knowledge. So I strive to kind of be that way. And so when I hear people say things like that, you know, I know exactly what to say, right to come back, you know, and say, okay, let's hear the numbers. Let's check it out, you know.
Yeah, well, that's great. So, Tyler, this point in your career in real estate, can you think of one thing that is your greatest memory, greatest achievement so far in your career?
Wow, that's probably the hardest question to answer. I'm looking at, when he asked me that, I looked over at my trophy stand there, and I got about five trophies sitting there. And you know, every one of them is special to me in its own way, you know, in its own right. But I would say my biggest achievement, wow, you know, if you take the trophies away, you take away the, you know, the, what do they call it, cube candy, you know, and you look at the transactions and things like that. I had a transaction just recently that was never supposed to close. I mean, this place was, it was just never supposed to close, you know, and they, I'll try to keep it short, but basically is what had happened was, the owner, the sellers of this property, I was representing the buyer. The sellers of this property cleared, they had a 5-acre property and a home on it, and they cleared 1 acre, one acre parcel that was protected forestry land. And I can't make this stuff up. We put in an offer, we got knocked out. They didn't choose our offer, they went with somebody else. Once they got through title, they got to realize, well, there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars of work that needs to be done to restore this forestry area. My client does that for a living.
Wow.
And so when I got the call from the agent, you know, she said, hey, I'm just calling to let you know, that this is what the deal is. If your client happens to have an extra couple hundred grand laying around, the house is going back on the market because this is what's going on. And I go, It's funny you should mention that because my client does that for a living. He actually restores, and does all this stuff. And we got to, I mean, it was just fiery hoop after fiery hoop that we had to jump through, in order to get that thing to close. But we did it. We got it to the closing table, and the clients were happy, the sellers were happy, and it was just, I mean, it was unbelievable that we made it there, and the way that we did it was just so creative and just so awesome. So that's probably one of my biggest moments. I don't know that I can name that as being my top, but it's definitely up there.
You know, I can definitely relate to that because I'm kind of a weird. I love it when there are problems that I can solve and I can do the impossible and make something happen when it wasn't supposed to happen. A lot of people hate that. They hate that stress, but I kind of get off on it. I love saying, everybody said this wasn't going to work, but I pulled it off. Ta-da. And it makes you feel good, right?
Yeah, it does. It really does. Yeah, there was that one. And as I was talking, I remembered a listing that I had, a couple years back, and they listed right as the market kind of started to go down. And we had high hopes for this listing. I mean, it was great. It was priced well at the time, but prices just started to tank, and so we started chasing the market, chasing the market, chasing. And they eventually fired me. And I go, okay, and I go, okay, I'm not going to stop until I get you guys the offer that you want. You could fire me, but I'm still going to work for you. I'm going to stick behind the scenes and I'm going to keep working for you until I get the offer that you want. And it was pretty brutal. It wasn't like a, hey, we're not really, doing what we need to get done here. Have a good day. It was more of a, I'm going to pull your sign out of the yard, throw it down, and tell you to come pick up your stuff type of fire. Like, you're out of here, buddy. And so coming back to them, I found them the offer that they wanted, and I brought it to them. And I reluctantly knocked on their door, and they opened the door, and they're like, "What?" And I go, "I got your offer. It's right here. I
That's
got everything
awesome.
that you wanted. Everything that you wanted is on here." And so that would probably be one of my top. I would say that if I had to name my top achievement, it would probably be that one. And then they ended up hiring me again to help them find the house that they ended up buying, which was my first $1 million deal at the time, which was amazing.
Well, that's great. Well, Tyler, I could talk to you all day, but we need to wrap this up because you're a busy guy. You need to get out there and help your clients. So let's end this by telling all the other home buyers, sellers, and other agents who want to work with you, how do they get in touch with the great Tyler Ware?
Yeah, so you can find me on social media, just under Tyler Ware, or you can give me a call at 206-280-1214. That's my direct cell line. I encourage people to go check out my website because we didn't really get a chance to get into it, but I have a really cool story. And so I'd like people, I'd love to share that story with everybody. And so my website is whereyoulive.com, and that's spelled WAREYOULIVE.com. And so that's how I would get in touch with me. Best way is, via call or text, email tyler@whereyoulive.com, or jump on my website. You can get a hold of me through there too.
And people who are listening to this podcast, I'll let you know you can see the video of it on YouTube, and Tyler's information will be right there on the screen for you. So thanks a lot, Tyler. You've been awesome. Everybody should give you a call and try to work with you sometime.
Yeah, that'd be great, Steve. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
And I'm Steve Tyler. I'm the owner of Best Mortgage. So if you know anyone interested in buying or selling a home, give us a call because we give them honest advice you can trust. This has been the Northwest Real Estate Roundup. Tell your friends, pass this on to realtors who might be interested, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us on today's journey through the dynamic world of real estate and mortgages. I'm your host, Steve Tytler, and this has been the Northwest Real Estate Roundup. Don't forget to subscribe for more expert advice, tips, and stories that empower you as a real estate professional. If you have questions or topics you want covered, drop us a line at our website. Until we meet again, here's to your success.